Today I'm here with Fernando Gamboa, interviewing him. It's 5:20, March 12th, 2018. Hi Fernando, how are you?
I'm doing well, how are you?
Pretty good. Now can you tell me your name, age, and where you're from?
I'm Fernando Gamboa, I'm 22. I grew up in Harrisonburg, but I'm from Colombia.
You're from Colombia. Now what part of Colombia?
Bucaramanga. It's like a city in Santander, which is like the department, I think is what they're called.
Okay.
The state.
Okay. Now, what about your childhood? Now, where were you? Were you educated originally in Colombia? Were you educated primarily here?
I guess like I came here when I was five. So I went to like preschool and like, that's about it in Colombia. And then I just went to like Harrisonburg City Schools. And now I'm here.
Okay. All right. And did you grow up with a religion, if you don't mind me asking? Are you still religious? Do you still practice that religion?
I am not, so I do not. My family, I guess, is Catholic. Like a bunch of people, like a bunch of, I guess, Latinx people are. And I guess it was like raised Catholic. I went to church up until I was like halfway through high school. And I kind of jettisoned the whole like religion thing. My parents are like, jokingly like to call like Catholic light. Mm-hmm. I just only sometimes do church things because a lot of other stuff gets in the way.
Okay, all right. And how did you come to the United States?
We flew here in 2001. My dad had a specialty workers visa, one of like the H1B, I think is what it was. And then we were, like, on the, I guess, like, adjacent visas, like, H-something, for, like, spouses and dependents. And so, like, we flew here February 2001.
You're when I was telling Aaron about the dilemma
and, yeah.
Okay. And can you explain those visas? I mean, what are the different types of visas for those who don't know?
I guess, H-1 is a specialty workers visa. So it's like,
yeah.
I guess, yeah, I guess specialty workers visas for like computer jobs and stuff. And there are other types of visas. There are visas for people who are like part of like the judicial like stuff. If they're like a victim of a crime, there's visas for like celebrities. There's a bunch of different kinds of visas. I guess I'm not super well versed.
Okay, all right. And did you live, you know, somewhere else before Harrisonburg when you came to the United States, or was Harrisonburg the first location that you came to?
No, so like we came here right away. My dad had, or has, I guess, my godfather is like my godfather's cousin's husband owned because that company is no longer around. Owned the company that my dad started working for. He came here on a tourism visa, found a job, and then we came here following him after he like changed his visa status.
Okay.
From tourism to like the specialty workers.
And what was that job, if you don't mind me asking?
It was something to do with an old like real like timeshare-y like vacation company that was around here. And so I think he did something with computers because he's a systems engineer. Or back from Colombia, so it was like working with their computer stuff.
Okay, all right. And I guess you've already answered most of this, but how did you end up finally here in Harrisonburg? Your father changed.
My dad found got that job got hired by that company while he was here on a tourism visa, and then we just kind of followed suit.
Right. Okay, and what was Harrisonburg like when you got here? Was it friendly, hostile?
So I was like five.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of hard to sort of tell. It was so like when we first got here, it was like before 9/11, obviously, because it was February 2001. So it's like kind of interesting to sort of like hear my parents talk about the, like, flying before that versus like then now like flying afterwards, and then some of like the so like responses other people had to like ground bodies post 9/11. We were like in DC at some point, and my dad, who's just like, I don't know, he's like a brown dude with like curly black hair, some guy like stopped him and like demanded to know where he was from.
Wow.
Because he's like looked like, I don't know, someone who could have like potentially been a terrorist. So it's like those sort of things, but that's like obviously not like Harrisonburg itself. Growing up in like the city schools, I don't know, everything was like all right. Harrisonburg's always like there's a lot of people of color here. I guess the way like the city has like was sort of like built is like there's a huge Mennonite population, like the Eastern Mennonite University does a lot of stuff with like immigrants, and it's just sort of like those like the people that prescribe to that religion, to my understanding, or like those kinds of people are very like open and like welcoming to others. I don't know, it's like a pretty nice place to be around.
So in general, accepting.
Yeah.
Have there been troubles for you? I mean, I know you mentioned your dad. That encounter.
Yeah, I mean, like, personally, not really, other than, like, with trash people here at the university. Right. I remember there was, like, a Senator Gutierrez from, I think it's, like, some district in Illinois, I don't know, came here to talk about immigration. We had a rally in Court Square with him there, and there was, like, some assholes that, like, were being loud, like, while they were driving by. Like, nothing, like, super, at least to, like, to myself and my family, have not experienced anything that's like viscerally violent.
Okay.
Because of like our immigration status.
Right. Okay. And currently do you hold a job right now somewhere?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I work at Staples.
Okay.
I worked at Martin's before that, or at some point for 2 weeks. That was not fun. But no, yeah. I have a job.
And how have those jobs been? Are there other people of Latina descent working those jobs, a lot of those jobs?
Used to those jobs. I mean, like, no. At least in my department at the store, I'm the only person of color. So a bunch of other white dudes that work there.
Wow.
The store at large has a bunch of people. I mean, it goes in and out. There's people, like, are hired and quit or go on to do something else, but the general manager is Egyptian. There are like no like some yeah they're just people of other ethnicities that work there. I'm not entirely sure of like everyone's migration status, but like I would be pretty confident to say I'm like the only non-citizen that works there.
And how has Harrisonburg changed since you moved here?
It's gotten bigger. So like, yeah, there's a lot more people here. It's like sort of like the whole overcrowding problem like the schools have right now. It's gotten a lot bigger. It's gotten a lot more brown. There's a huge influx of, like, there's a larger Kurdish population that's here. And, like, the demographics just, like, gotten a lot more diverse. When my brother graduated high school, I guess one of the things they talked on at this commencement ceremony was that there are, it's over 100 countries or something that are represented at the high school. There's a large percentage of students there that speak more than two languages.
Okay.
That are more than just than English and Spanish. Like there are a bunch of different dialects or like people that speak a bunch of a lot of different languages. This is just a very diverse city. And this is sort of interesting to sort of see the juxtaposition between, like, Harrisonburg itself and then, like, JMU. Because JMU is, like, very white, very rich. Mm-hmm. Compared to, like, everyone outside the bubble.
Right. And you mentioned that you're part of the debate team. Is that mm-hmm. right? What other organizations are you a part of right now?
I guess I would say I'm in the JMU Feminist Collective, and then I guess like to be more involved with the JMU NAACP chapter, but like work has gotten in the way of being able to go to general body meetings. I'm trying to think. I guess the Society of Physics Students. That's just sort of like if you're in the major, you're in that organization.
Okay. And so, I mean, I don't know if you could answer this, but what are the plans for those organizations for the future? Specifically more of the cultural ones.
Yeah.
And political ones.
Sure. I guess the NAACP, I'm not entirely sure. I'm not an exec. I'm like a general body member. I'm not entirely sure what their sort of like mission is outside of JMU. I know they do a bunch of stuff, like sort of like outreachy sort of things. They do some community service for Martin Luther King. There's like a breakfast they had, I think, like a what's it called, like a gala sort of thing and festival for that. Upcoming, they have like Image Awards, which is like you sort of like nominate people for. And some essay competition for that. The Feminist Collective, that one's a kind of interesting. They're sort of like, I guess, figuring out how to be more, sort of have more praxis instead of just sort of like sitting and theorizing or talking about things, trying to find more instances where, there's like opportunity for doing things with the community or sort of like making spaces more of it like accessible to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now it really is mostly just like a meeting to go to once a week. There's like some stuff, like I know during Sex Positivity Week we sell like penis and vulva pops to sort of like promote sex positivity. Mm-hmm. In the past they've done like things with a 1 billion rising on Valentine's Day, which is a sort of like movement around the world against sexual assault. I'm trying to think when Project Condom comes around. We enter, I think, like I don't know, it's like a fashion show where you build a costume out of condoms. I made the one for last year. That was really fun. I guess it's a more, I think everyone is attempting to like sort of reach outside of JMU, but it's just kind of hard.
Right.
I think there's just a sort of disconnect or sort of an like a gap in people's ability to do things more than just around them, because it's like kind of hard to do that as just students.
Right. In more broader terms, what do you see as the future for the current Latino population that's living here?
I don't know. So there's a bunch of organizations, right? There's like COSPUS, which I think that was a Salvadorian organization that does stuff. But I don't know if there's I guess New Bridges Immigration Center. Like, there's a lot of like different organizations. I don't know if there's like any one like central goal that anyone is like trying to go towards. Right. I would also like, I guess, sort of problematize like if it's like questions about immigration, it's like sort of necessary to understand that. not all Latinx people are immigrants. Not all immigrants are Latinx. Because there's sort of like large, so there's like large groups of mostly like, not mostly, there's like our Mexican Americans that are like the border cross them, right? When the like the southern border of the U.S. got drawn, there were people who, it was Mexico, 55 of Mexico got turned into the U.S. It's sort of like those people then became American by virtue of where they happened to be living at that time. And then also sort of like, yeah, not all immigrants are Latinx. And it's sort of like a problem when people discuss immigrant issues and like the needs of immigrant or like the needs of immigrant populations, they sort of only ever focus on Latinx issues because it's like, yes, there is a large portion of Latinx of immigrants are Latinx, but there's a host of issues that other people in the immigrant community, in like immigrant communities, face that aren't addressed or like aren't focused on because the overarching narrative is of that of like a Latinx immigrant.
Okay. Well, this next question is, it starts kind of small, but it will expand. So what are the changes that you currently like to see in Harrisonburg? And then the second part of the question is much broader. What are the changes you'd like to see in the nation in general? And you can speak on immigration if you want to. You can speak on any issue that you think has affected you or those around you or that is really important to you.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know, insofar as like Harrisonburg, because there's not like, Harrisonburg is very much like a pro-immigrant city, right? Like there's, it would have been nice, or like nice to see, I guess, in like the current climate, sort of like things like moves to be more of like a sanctuary, like things like becoming a sanctuary city, and taking effects to do that. I think the more pressing issue is like the sort of like nationwide sort of like how policies change, right? So like ideally just like abandoning ICE and like border patrol. Like I think those things are necessarily violent and kill people.
Right.
Sort of like ending deportations, sort of moving away from like citizenship as the sort of barrier to be able to access public goods. So yeah, like open migration sort of things, because at the end of the day, like, this is stolen land. It's I think really hypocritical for like white people to stand here and complain about immigration because they stole this country. Like, they killed a bunch of people in order to create this this nation, and then are then hurt because brown people come, because at the end of the day, like, a bunch of that shit's just like racism. Like, people are racist. Like, I think it's really telling when like recently when South Africa sort of like is voted to take back land that was taken from like Africans by colonizers, that a bunch of like racist people want like special attention to be given to white South Africans. It's like they only really care about them because they're white, not because they're like immigrants or that like, they even need anything, because at the end of the day, those are the same people there are the colonizers. They're the ones that caused all this fuck shit to happen to people of color around the world. So I don't know, I guess as a nation, like, I would love for the U.S. to stop being, I don't know, I think it's, like, necessarily a violent body. It does fuck shit abroad and domestically to people of color all around the world. I don't know, I don't like the U.S. The U.S. is, like,
there are a lot of problems here.
There are a shit ton of problems.
Yeah.
Primarily caused by angry white dudes.
I would agree with that. So, I mean, adding to that, what do you think of the rhetoric, specifically in terms of, you know, regarding the issue of immigration in the public sphere? I know you're sort of touching on this, if you want to add to that.
I guess, like, the rhetoric that's been used around immigration is sort of like a long sort of, like, it was like has been constructed to be that way, right? So, like, the sort of the construction of, like, the criminal immigrant, yeah, like crimmigration, with, like, the categorization of an illegal immigrant since, like, the creation of the Chinese Exclusion Act, that sort of, like, creates a classification of person that is not deserving of being here, merely based on them not having being born here or not coming here the right way. So, like, sort of moving away from, like, calling people illegal, which is just, like, violent in and of itself, but then also justifies a bunch of fuck shit from happening. So, like, it's, like, Operation Blockade and, or Project Blockade and Operation Hold the Line, sort of, like, Clinton-era border enforcement that happened along, like, border cities of San Diego and El Paso, so, like, in California and Texas, that sort of literally militarized the border and forced people to stop crossing in urban areas and to go and force it and sort of funnel them to the desert. The sort of ways that the, like, policymakers were talking about that is, like, sort of prevention by deterrence, sort of making it really difficult and dangerous for people to come into the country, and then sort of justifying the deaths of those people, both in the desert in Mexico, but also in the U.S. by saying that they're criminal and that there was just a necessary, that that's just an inherent risk that they took coming into this country illegally, when those are just, like, artificial constructions because they don't want brown people to be there or be here.
Right. And adding to that, what, I mean, just out of curiosity, I'd like your opinion, your input on this, what do you think they should do about the border?
Get rid of that shit. Like, okay, the border isn't necessarily a violent institution. Right. Yeah, no, like, I think open borders, I think, like, the border fence is, like, it is asinine to think that you can do that. It's sort of misunderstanding of, like, how the geography and topography works.
Right.
In the borderlands, and, like, the southern border of the U.S., and sort of, like, the hyper militarization that's happened to it, like, that shit needs to go, right? Like, get rid of border patrol.
Seems to create a lot more violence.
It really does. It kills a bunch of people that does not need to. And shit, like, getting rid of or, like, preventing, there's, like, militias. Just, like, white dudes that have nothing to do but, like, attack brown people. They go around and round up people that look brown or look undocumented and will turn them into ICE. Mm-hmm. And they ride around in, like, SUVs with their AKs. Just, like, militarizing the border on their own accord, outside of any sort of, like, governing body. I think that sort of stuff needs to not happen.
Okay. And I wouldn't happen to be well-versed on this, but does ICE have a large presence here in Harrisonburg? I'll let you finish. Don't rush.
There's an ICE office here. Okay. People have been picked up before. I know in the past there's been a sort of, like, so an ICE detainer that gets placed on someone so that you can be held more than 24 hours after, like, being pulled over for something. And it gives ICE the, like, time to be able to, like, check whether or not that person is in the country, like, has, like, is authorized to be in the country. So there is that. Sometimes I know there's been raids at, I think, the poultry farms, like the poultry processing plants that are around here. But I personally have not seen, like, ICE agents. But then again, pigs look the same regardless of what they're wearing, so.
Yeah, and they seem to, just from my understanding, from what I have discovered from class and videos that we've watched, it seems that this country continues to do that, and then the people that they need working these plantations or these farms, like these chicken factories and stuff like that, happen to be people of, you know, some people of Latino descent who are willing to put in a lot more effort than a lot of the people here.
Yeah, I mean, white people don't want those jobs. They don't think, they think they're above it.
Right.
And don't do that. And that sort of, like, it is a job that no one wants to do, sort of, like, leads to exploitation of very vulnerable populations because they don't want to. I guess I'm also not super big on a fan of, like, justifying having immigrants here to do jobs that white people don't want to. Was it? It's like, I don't know if it was, like, post-election or pre-election. What's her name? Well, Osborne's daughter, Kelly, whatever her name was. She was like, Donald Trump, who is going to wash your clothes if you deport all the undocumented people? Something like that. And it's just sort of like thinking that that's the only thing we're good for is like not the case. Like, we are not here to be like second class citizens, not here to do your laundry or pick your fruit or like kill your chickens. She's like here to fucking live. Right. And sort of only wanting people to be here for those reasons, just again sort of like adds to the kinds of violences that we experience, because it then sort of what happens to the people that aren't willing or aren't able to work low skilled jobs, or people that aren't like the valedictorian from their high school that got into Harvard on a full ride. Right, it's there's sort of like a gap in between there of deservingness to be in the country.
Right. Yeah, it seems very dehumanizing to consider immigrants as only people of exploitation.
Or
it doesn't
commodity.
Seem it, it is very exploitative, and it's awful to see that seem to be dehumanized very quickly when they come here. So what would you like people to know, I mean, from this interview, from this story? Are there any final thoughts, any other opinions you want to share?
I guess, like, things like the Dream Act are good insofar that, like, they have material benefits for people, but they are bad insofar that it, again, sort of plays into, like, a deservingness or, like, an exceptionalism narrative of immigrants. Like, the only people that deserve to be here are not just like the valedictorians or the people that are like working hard or came here of their own, like, not of their own accord, like, or against their will. Like the sort of people like myself that like qualify for DACA stuff, right? Because those sorts of policies necessarily exclude people like our parents who should get to be here because they worked super fucking hard to be here and didn't do anything to not be here. Other than like be born in a country that wasn't this one and was honestly probably fucked up by the U.S. or other white people through like a long process of colonialization and like economic exploitation, like, right? So like sort of moving away from those things and seeing like we are not free until everyone is free, and do stuff like that. Also, I'm gonna stop. So like sort of. I think there's a very strong need to sort of move past dreamer narratives and sort of like we are all dreamers. No, we are not all dreamers.
So what does that new narrative in your mind look like?
I just don't just like
the rhetoric of it.
I don't know. I think that's like super layered, mm-hmm. right? Because I think it's a product of like a long history of colonialization that's happened in this country. I don't think that can necessarily can happen without like fixing a bunch of other issues. Moving on from that, I guess it's also important to like, I think, vilify the Democratic Party. They don't give a shit. They never have. They never will. They don't want to help us. The only thing they're doing is seeing potential voters at the end of the line.
Natalie?
Holding or attempting to hold the country hostage, in order to get a DACA deal.
You're
and just not actually being able to do anything or not pressing hard enough. They only care so much as to like be do things that are put on paper, right? Like Clinton was the one that passed a bunch of border security legislation in the 90s. Obama deported a bunch of people, more than I think like Clinton and Bush combined. Loved deporting women and children. It's like a piece of shit. Like, it's important to understand that no one, like, I'm very hard pressed to believe that any politician actually cares about immigrants. Because at the end of the day, they don't really have to. And we're always sort of a population that is, like, pushed onto the sidelines. It's like, we have to do these things, and then we'll figure out immigrants. But there is always something that gets pushed to the top of the docket before we're ever considered in anything. So it's sort of like forefronting our needs, and like people have to start caring about people as people, or like thinking, seeing people as people before like they can do anything. Otherwise, we're just like the people who are going to clean your clothes and pick your fruit.
It's very problematic. Anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, this concludes my interview with Fernando Gamboa. This is William Finch, 550, March 12th, 2018.